Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
This Michigan is our time.
Big Ten champion.
Go Blue!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
First victory of the year on the line. Goff's got it. Back, looks, throws, and
yes!
Caught! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! They've done it!
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, USC head coach Lincoln Riley. From NBC Sports, Peter King. Still to come, College Game Day analyst Desmond Howard. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Desmond's coming our way from the worldwide leader in sports. He's going to do, as he said, a television hit and then join us. So
right.
He's just slated to join us this hour. Just had a nice text exchange with him in the last commercial break. Lincoln Riley called in last hour. So did Peter King. If you missed it, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. I had my say about Michigan making the college football playoff quartet for the first time ever. For the first time since Jim Harbaugh took the reins of this program. And how glorious it was and what it meant to me and how when it prevented Notre Dame from getting a seat was really terrific.
How did you watch the game?
At home, just by myself. Cooper came in and out. Zan came in and out. Taylor came in and out.
Office?
No. In the spot where so many of the last few years came to crashing terrible ends. And so I decided I'm turning the page, so.
Brockman, we all know that. Where he was at. He was in his living room because we got video of it.
Right.
From Susie.
I
did she?
She sent some videos.
Yeah, great. Great. So, yeah, I'm on display. I'm on display. But it was great. If you missed any of that, our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Del Tufo, are you ready for your weather report later on this hour?
Yes.
Because Monday Night Football is huge tonight.
He's been awful quiet the entire show, so I know this is going to be good because he's been over there doing his research. Good.
Monday Night Football is huge tonight.
Huge.
Patriots and Bills.
Whew.
Bills had their way last year. They swept New England last year, and this is after, I guess the fall of Brady. they tore the statue down and then took over the country, in the AFC East last year, and now Bills back, fully constituted. Once again, on a roll with a quarterback that doesn't make many mistakes and is pushing the ball down the field on occasion, and the running game and the defense and the special teams and the coaching. This looks just like the Patriots that we came to know and love or hate, depending on your point of view. So tonight, here they come into Western New York, and this is it. This is it. The Bills can take a stand and say, tonight is the night we show you last year was no fluke. We already know nationwide it was no fluke. I know it. Anybody who watches the Bills knows it, that's no fluke. That's a terrific quarterback. That's a terrific defense. This is a playoff team. I mean, you could look at the Bills and say that's a playoff team. The question is, are they a division-winning playoff team? And are they a team that can get back to the AFC Championship game? They are up and they are down on that front about the AFC Championship game, but certainly in the first month of the season, first 6 weeks of the season, certainly going into that Halloween weekend game in SoFi that I watched the Patriots beat the Chargers to go on win two of their current six-game win streak, the Bills were still considered the best team in the AFC East and having a shot to win that division when they were going into that game in Jacksonville, losing that game to go presumably 6-2. They emerged from it at 5-3. I'm like, okay, now what was that all about? They get right game against the Jets, and then they get smoked by the Colts at home. And what's that about? And then they go into New Orleans and look like the team from last year. But is that a New Orleans thing or is that a Bills thing? I mean, that's what tonight is about in terms of their long-term viability to win it all. They're a playoff team for sure. The question is, how are they a playoff team as a division winner? And the crazy thing is that we're wondering about that about the Bills, and they could be in first place, although not all alone, in the conference. Flat out in the mix for a one seed, they have to win tonight for that. And if they win tonight, we still have a four-way tie atop the AFC as we currently do right now. They just supplant the Patriots in that mix at 8-4 with the bye week and Titans and the Ravens you just lost and the Chiefs who are on a nice win streak of their own. They would just replace the Patriots in that four-way division leaders atop their respective division at 8-4. And the Titans would be number one in that mix again, and the Bills would be two, Ravens three, Chiefs four. And the Patriots would be a half game behind that 8-4 palooza. If the Patriots win, they've got the lone one seed spot. Oof. A half game in front of three teams at 8-4 and one team at 7-5, and the Bills along with the 7-5 Chargers and the 7-5 Bengals. That's what's at stake tonight. And there's those Colts at 7-6 back on that win streak again after losing to the Bucs. Back on their winning ways again, pardon me. It's 7-6 with the Steelers at 6-5-1. That's what's at stake tonight. Exciting stuff. No question about it. Big game. And I'll be on Westwood One pregame and halftime. Devin McCourty and Emmanuel Sanders is on Friday's show. We'll play those interviews for you. Getting set for that big one tonight. Very excited. Chris Brockman, you ready for Overreaction Monday before Desmond Howard hits us?
Ooh, before Des.
Yes, let's do it. Let's go. Overreaction Monday right here on a Week 13 Monday in our football world. Hit it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there, Chris?
Let's start with tonight. As we just talked about, Bills, Patriots. The Bills need this game tonight more than New England.
I'll say that's a proper reaction because the Bills coming into the season were viewed as a Super Bowl contender. And for them to be viewed as such, they can't be surpassed by New England in their own division, in their own house. So I'll go with that. Obviously, New England is, you know, that supposes that New England's playing with house money right now anyway, and that they can, you know, get done what the Bills have an opportunity to get done now later on, even though the now has arrived for New England. So in that regard, that's an overreaction. But in terms of the Bills coming to the season, it's a proper reaction. Do you get me?
I get you.
What else you got over
there? I like that. Let's go to Pittsburgh. The Ravens, guys. They screwed up not taking the game to overtime.
Oh, gosh.
You got the biggest overtime X factor ever in Justin Tucker. Kick the extra point, go to overtime, take your chances.
Yeah, but I think that they were concerned about their defense not being able to withstand it and they could give it up. And they had the right play, man.
He was wide open.
They had the right play. Wide open. They had the perfect play call. I thought for sure that was the time to win it. They had just gone down. And it's not like John Harbaugh is worried about his job. I mean, that's total onions right there. I'll just say that's an overreaction. I kind of digged the call at the time. I thought it was the right call at the time. They made the right actual play call. Did not work out. So there's that.
We're overreacting. All right. And then let's look across the other way, guys. Steelers. Not dead yet.
That's true.
Not dead yet.
They're not dead yet. They're not dead yet. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not dead yet. They're not. I mean, they're the Rasputin of the NFL 2021 season.
Big Ben Schefter has that story. He's privately telling, like, everyone that he's not coming back
so
next
what?
Year.
Right, I know. I don't know why that was a big story. Why is that a big story? We're all supposing it
play
anyway.
For a couple years, you know it's over.
No, but I mean, we all assume like it does not appear like he's got that sort of Rodgers Brady type run left in him here.
Also,
physical being. I mean, he's a monstrously large
and
man.
The story was he's not coming back to the Steelers. So does he think he's playing somewhere else next year?
I don't know why that was even considered a distraction. As a matter of fact, that might be let's play one for Ben right here and figure it out. And, you know, I that one, they're not dead yet. If you put up their schedule, it is not simple, right? It's a short week game against Minnesota, who they should beat. How does that sound? They should get after Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
They should go hunt him. They should win that short week game. They should jam Najee Harris down their throat. And then they've got the ones in front of them to actually make the playoffs.
Tough game.
That's it. But
tough
these are games, teams that they have to beat. And we'll find out if they're playoff tested and ready to go. And they are still the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that game against Tennessee is going to be lit at home. They got to go to Kansas City. That will be a difficult test. I can't wait for the Monday nighter at home against Cleveland. And then at Baltimore to wrap things up. The schedule makers have nailed it. It'll be a tough road, but they're set up at 6-5-1 to make it. They're not dead. Correct.
Not dead.
They are not dead yet.
Not dead
to
yet.
Use the they're not quite dead. I mean, let's just put it this way. To use the Monty Python phrase, if they're screaming, bring out your dead, that's not who you bring out. Just
never say never, but never.
All right. Thank you, Coach. What do you got over
there? I'm looking at the NFC playoff picture, and it is like, after Arizona, after the top kind of four teams, it's kind of a who knows who's going to fill that last those last two spots. So I'm going to say 2-9-8 teams are going to make the playoffs.
Like, I think that's right.
Number 6 and number 7, both are going to be 9-8.
I think that's a good way to go right now.
Because right now they're both 6-6.
Yeah.
The football team in San Francisco.
The 49ers had a shot yesterday. I don't know. I mean, they had a shot at the end to win it, too.
No.
I don't know what to make of that one.
No, yeah.
But, you know, that sort of performance makes me think that they could be a 9-8 team. They will be a difficult 9-8 team. And again, the Rams, if they can put it together, will be the last team that the Cowboys want to see. Because it looks like the Cowboys are going to most likely be in that fourth spot.
TJ, we going to that game?
We have to.
No, you're not. You're going to sit at home like we know you're going to not
go
respond
to
your texts that are
going to
be coming in on your phone, even though you got two phones.
One for the plug and one for the load. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. I don't think that's an overreaction right now.
How about this, though? Mm-hmm. Based on that, did you see post-game Gardner and his dad? Gardner Minshew and his dad? How great of a video is that? Guys, Gardner Minshew can lead the Eagles
that's
to the
crazy.
Playoffs.
No way. That's not happening. Dude,
stop it.
I have pride.
He was amazing yesterday.
I know. The Jets, Chris.
The Jets defense is just substandard. There's just no way to put it. And C.J. Mosley sitting there in the middle of that defense talking about how Fletcher Cox is this and that and the other thing. It's just like there's no leg to stand on for the New York Jets defense. And you know, I'm sorry. The Philadelphia Eagles need Jalen Hurts to come back. The Philadelphia Eagles need Jalen Hurts to come back and be Jalen Hurts. I love Gardner Minshew as much as anything else. Video of him with his dad. Terrific.
Amazing.
Him showing up looking like Burt Reynolds and Turd Ferguson combined.
Top Gun
amazing.
3 with Gardner
Minshew. I love all of it. I love his style. I love his excellence of being Gardner Minshew. I love it. Jalen Hurts is the guy for this team, and Jalen Hurts needs to come back if the Philadelphia Eagles want to make a nice run in the NFC, Christopher. That was nice.
By the way,
that was the Jets. That was my Jets, the Jets.
One more about Gardner. Can he be the Steelers' starting quarterback next year?
Come on.
Dude, I just don't know if Gardner Minshew is a starting quarterback in the NFL.
You guys are crazy.
like weeks 1 to 18, you know.
What's wrong with you? Baby?
So let me just linger on this for a second here. Next up for the Philadelphia Eagles, they're hitting their bye.
Yeah, they're on the bye week.
They got two games against the Washington football team. I mean, Gardner Minshew versus Taylor Heineke is the matchup nobody saw coming, but it's got to be Hurts. Coming off the bye, it's Hurts against the Washington football team,
Minshew,
the Giants.
Can win all these games.
There's four games in division. It's time for Jalen Hurts to show, can he win these games in division and make the playoffs or not? And that's what you also need to see evaluate to make your decision on your three first-round selections that you now have, because as of yesterday, Carson Wentz crossed the threshold, essentially, of that 75% of the Colts snaps this year to turn the draft choice that the Eagles got in the trade into a first. So they need to make that evaluation. So that's an overreaction. What else you got over there, Chris?
All right, every week before, remember, I would come on and I'd be like, oh, so-and-so is now the MVP frontrunner. And then last week I said, now there's no MVP frontrunner. Okay, I'm back. Kyler Murray should be the MVP frontrunner right now.
I'll just double down on what I
four
said.
Four touchdowns.
I'll just said.
Yeah,
I'll just.
A month.
I will just double down on what I said to start the show. Like, why aren't the Cardinals being discussed in a way that a 10-2 team should be discussed? Because they're not from Green Bay, or they don't have Tom Brady quarterback in it, or they're not from New England, or they're not in Kansas City, and they're not from Dallas, right? Who, if they played each other right now, I would take Arizona 9 times out of 10 in that game right now. The game that they just won in Chicago on one of the worst turfs in the NFL, with the rain coming down, okay, and it being one of those awful days,
like,
in the Midwest that you want
degrees.
No part, you don't want to get. The number of times that I've spent in the Midwest, and it's one of those slate gray days where you know it's going to rain all day and it's freezing. You just want to sit at home and never get off the couch.
Never.
And you, like, DeAndre Hopkins didn't warm up yesterday outside because he wanted to stay indoors and, you know, get loose there, and he didn't want to run the risk of anything. So he warmed up inside before the game.
And then
yesterday,
that catch that he made for the touchdown.
And they won by more than 10 points on the road for the 7th straight time this year. Damn straight, Kyler Murray should be the front runner of the MVP. His team's 10-2.
Speaking.
In this quarterback-driven league. Yeah. That's not an overreaction. That's a proper reaction right now, Chris, with Brady right behind him.
Brady right behind him. I think you're right about that.
You got one more?
I got two more.
Oh. Okay, what else?
They won their first game yesterday. First one. Jared Goff comeback. It was unbelievable. Man Campbell was awesome. The Lions are going to win more games than they lose to close out the year.
Oh, this sounds like one of my fourth downs. Put up the schedule.
More games than they lose.
There we go.
5 left.
Detroit Lions remaining football games are at Denver. Good luck. Home for Arizona, at Atlanta, at Seattle. No, that's an overreaction.
Denver, Atlanta, Seattle. No, all wins. Book it.
Come on. At Denver, at Seattle. No, man. They'll be fun games because, as you know, as one of my fourth downs earlier this year, is they're going to be must-see television. And very few, like that game against Philadelphia was one of the only ones that just like, well, that's the same old Lions right there. But what else? What's your last one?
All right, this probably isn't an overreaction, but this is for TJ. Alabama's going to win the college football. I mean, come on. Yeah, it was just resigned to it. Like, we all doubted them all year. Oh, they lose to Jimbo Fisher. They're underdogs to Georgia. What do? They pounded the bag out of the Bulldogs. Bryce Young, just give them the Heisman Trophy now. Like, why even go through the formality of a ceremony this weekend in New York? Just give them the Heisman Trophy.
That's right.
And they're
going to
win the national championship.
That's rat poison.
And it's just going to be like, oh, hey, Alabama's back.
That's rat poison. That's rat poison.
They're the favorite.
Georgia just wasn't up for the task.
They're the favorite.
Maybe Cincinnati will be. And if not Cincinnati, maybe my team will be.
Cincinnati's going to lose by 40.
I don't know.
To Alabama.
I'll just say that's an overreaction. And everyone's going to have that reaction right now. And you may be proven correct, but I'll just say that's an overreaction. We'll see what happens in a college football playoff game. We'll see what happens in Indianapolis.
If it's Michigan, Alabama, are we going?
I've already gotten phone calls and texts from Michigan folks who I know and adore asking me if I'm going, if there is a game. And I'm like, talk to me on January 1st. I'm not going to have these conversations.
So can I start calling radio stations to, like, make sure we can?
I am not going to
get
have
accommodated
these conversations.
In Indianapolis.
House money.
I am not going to have these conversations.
I will be in Florida on the 1st.
I am not going to be.
I will actually be. I could possibly go to that game.
Mike, think how good that shrimp cocktail is.
Don't go on the first.
I will be there before that. I will be that. I may actually go to that
game. Almost shrimp cocktail, and we go to the national championship game. We do our show.
I don't want to have this conversation. We're not having this conversation.
On the 31st,
I'm always down for a road trip.
I will be in.
We haven't taken this particular iteration of the show on the road yet. First time national championship game. Just saying.
I want to go to the
semifinals. I'm not having this conversation because
House money.
Honestly, we've got to make sure that we beat the team that took on Vandy and Arkansas and Florida and Missouri. And you got to make sure we beat that team that took on Charleston Southern. You know, got to make sure because those are the teams that they beat to be first overall, earning the spot for Alabama to leapfrog them because they had to make sure that they took care of South Carolina, the Blazers, 56-7. At least when Michigan took on a team in their non-conference schedule, it was the eventual MAC champion from Northern Illinois. So,
how many ranked teams did you play this year?
I see
six on that schedule.
Well, I also see teams that are ranked because they're in the SEC. I'm going to enjoy the next few weeks. I'm going to start writing a lot of checks against the It Just Means More. And I might have those returned to sender, but I'll be happy to have those returned to sender.
Rutgers, Illinois,
house money,
Nebraska,
house money,
Northwestern.
I don't want you to wait to talk trash.
Indiana.
The Rutgers game was a big game.
Maryland.
It was actually a big game. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break. I do believe Desmond Howard may not be able to join us because he's joining us after Marcus Freeman talks.
Oh.
Because he's in his press conference today, right now, and ESPN has paused because Notre Dame is introducing its new head coach. Yes. So that conversation is going down right now. Congratulations to him, Marcus Freeman.
He's 35.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. He is suited and booted, looking great. I know.
He looks so good.
I'm in.
I know.
Oh, you're in, Mike?
I've been in day one. No, I hate.
What do you mean? Where else is he going to go? He's going to jump to Seton Hall's football team.
We don't have a football team.
Correct.
That's why I got Notre Dame.
Rutgers.
Right, please we'll kiss my ass. Rutgers didn't let me in.
844-204-RICH. Kiss my ass.
Wow.
Mike Del Tufo.
That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
That's
what we're doing. Yeah. They didn't let me in. I got in the
Piscataway circuit. Piscataway can go away.
Are you kidding me?
That's what he said. Kiss my ass, says Mike Del Tufo.
Rutgers.
Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so Desmond is talking
live on ESPN. Yeah,
Desmond is literally live on ESPN right now. There's Max Kellerman smiling. Is that son of Golic? There's
Notre
Max.
Dame.
There's Notre Max Dame, looking all inquisitive. And so once Des hangs up with Max, he's just thrown a break. It could be a second hit of Des. We don't know, but he's going to call in very shortly.
Live TV.
Let's say this. Let's talk about this. We all know Brockman has very little regard for certain things in life, okay?
Wait,
we know Brockman has very little regard for certain things. And on occasion, we have no idea what sets off the tripwire.
Oh, yeah. It could be anything. Yeah.
Okay, it could really be anything, right?
Yes.
Two young ladies attempting to win $100,000 of free tuition money from Dr. Pepper.
The ball.
Set off Chris Brockman in such a way.
Yeah, was it because like it was Dr. Pepper?
The fury of a thousand suns.
This is like year 10 of this, though.
It's different. Like 1 year I did it at the, I think Nokia was the one that did it. They hired me to be the guy on the turf at a Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
I flew down to New Orleans 1 year to be that guy to welcome in the two people to push free throw shot type football throws into a small hole in a can about 10 yards down the field.
If you can't throw a football the way a football is to be thrown, you can't compete in the contest.
So it should be an overhand thing.
Overhand throw. And if you only make three or four, so be it. I don't want to see you chest pass
that should be allowed.
Any of these GD things.
And then like, how about...
You can't do it. It's
did
over.
Did you see they had no fewer than five officials on the field for this? That was almost better officiated than part of the actual game of the Big Ten championship game.
You're right.
He was so angry about
it. I hate this event with the fury of a thousand suns.
He's right, though.
What if one of them like fake slid at the footballs and then kept throwing him chest passed?
He liked that.
Like the Kenny Pickett of the Dr. Pepper chest pass.
Also, you know what's super comical? Have you looked at the price of tuition these days? $100K, while significant, isn't going to get you like a semester and a half.
Are you calling the good doctor cheap?
Colleges.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm
the
saying
the good doctor
like,
is cheap.
Wait a minute, you said the good doctor was trash last week.
So. I'm saying inflation is hitting everyone. Maybe bump that up to like 250.
All right, let's bring in Desmond Howard, one of my favorite people on the planet.
Yeah,
one of my favorite people on the planet. That's the way we welcome you on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. Do you think these Dr. Pepper contestants should be forced to throw overhand, Desmond? What do you think?
I think that's a good argument. I think that's a good point. I believe that, you should have to. I mean, because that's the whole point of throwing a football, right? I mean, you don't chest pass a football. You throw a football. I mean, so that's a good. I haven't really heard people debate that, but I'm on board with that.
Wait a minute, Favre never chest passed you the ball, never once. That never happened.
I tell you what, but these quarterbacks now they have like this jet motion that goes in front of them and they snap the ball. Yeah. They just pretty much tap the ball.
That is a chest pass, right? Right?
Yeah.
It's just that they're not throwing it into a can that's 10,
right, correct,
10 yards
right.
in front
the
of them.
The timing of it has to be perfect too.
See? Now, Chris, that's why Desmond's next level right there. How are you, Des? How you doing?
Oh, man, listen, Rick. If I was doing any better, you had to put me in a straitjacket, bro. It's just like that, you know? You can't hide it.
Right. I mean, I know what it feels like for me being a longtime fan and observer. What about a guy like you who has won a Heisman Trophy for this school and has won big games for this school and is sitting on the set of one of the most watched college football shows in the history of such things over the last few years. What is this like for you to see this?
You know,
for
what
Michigan,
it is for
Desmond?
Me, Rich, to be completely honest with you, is just I'm happy for the coaches, the coaching staff, and the players, you know, because they've been through so much. And I was talking to I was at a game and talking to one really popular music exec named Steve Stout. And Steve Stout said, you know, you guys are ready to get rid of Harbaugh. I said, well, you know, Steve, the thing is, like, those of us who actually know what's happening, we never really felt like that. I said, it's just like you know, you've had all sorts of musical artists, right? I said, but you know that there are artists that have great potential, but then there are people out there in the media who are sitting out there and they're carving up this artist. But you as an exec, you know what's happening behind the scenes, why this artist just might not be reaching his potential just yet, but you don't give up on the artist. I said, so when I put it in a language like that, then he understands exactly what I mean about that's the noise outside. But people who are inside understand what was really happening wasn't really as quick to give up on Coach Harbaugh. And so I'm happy that the decision makers didn't pull the trigger, because we see decision makers all over college football pulling the trigger haphazardly on some of these head coaches. But they didn't pull the trigger. They stuck with them. They made some adjustments. They made some changes. And now a team that wasn't even picked to finish in the top three, I think they were picked to finish fourth in their own division, is picked as the number two team in the nation. Now, who saw that coming?
I didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the point is, I'm just so happy for the decision makers, for Coach Harbaugh, and for those kids who've been dealing with so much for so many years to be where they are, because they kept fighting the good fight and they stayed on course, and it has paid big dividends for them so far, and it's going to pay even bigger dividends for them down the road.
And then how about the blossoming of one of your teammates' kids into a Heisman Trophy candidate, which I think Aiden should be. Yeah. What is that like to watch a kid of a teammate do what he's doing for the school, Dez? That's insane.
Again, you know, you're so happy for the kid, Rich, because don't forget, now, this is a kid who last season was going to be, I think, projected to be a first-round draft pick, and then he, you know, broke his ankle. And then, you know, he's crying, and people are like, well, should he come back? Should he just, you know, rehab and go to the NFL? And this kid made a commitment, you know, to himself, to his teammates, to his coaches, to come back. You know why he wanted to come back? He wanted to come back to finish the job, to win a Big Ten championship with his team. And he came back and did it. Not only that, now he's like a top five pick, and he's, you know, and hopefully I'll see him in New York on Saturday. So, I mean, it's just a sweet story, and got a lot of credit. And Chris is his dad, who I played with, and man, what is just a wonderful man he is, and his wife, and what they've done raising Aiden. So just kudos to them as a family.
I'll be honest, I can't believe this is happening. Always hoped. Yeah, you, as Dez, you know, I had you on when the show was first beginning 7 years ago. I had you on. I had Steve Hutchinson, no relation, and I had Woodson on, and I'm like, we got to get Harbaugh. We got to get him. And I remember I looked at Harbaugh when he was on the sideline of the Ravens years ago, when he was either at Stanford or he just was going to Stanford. And he was running off the field on a Saturday night because the college football season was over. And he was wearing a Ravens gear. He was on the sideline of the, I think it was the night that the Ravens closed down Old Texas Stadium. And he runs past the set. And I'm like, you got to come home, man. And he smiled at me and nodded at me and ran into the tunnel. Because this was what I was envisioning. I didn't think it would take 7 years, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I can't believe it's happening, Dez. I cannot believe it is happening. And it is the greatest thing. I said it's the greatest fall I've ever had. And I know you're professional, and you know I can be somewhat here because my job is to actually talk from the heart, my gut from the show. The fact that they beat Ohio State and deny Notre Dame a seat at the table. I'm not done yet. And tell Michigan State, you know, with their big win, and it was a tremendous win for them, tell Michigan State, hey, that was a peach of a win. Enjoy the Peach Bowl. And that was just all it was. All it was is just one of those character-building moments on our journey to maybe the greatest season in the history of Michigan football. It's the greatest thing. This is the greatest fall I've ever had. My kids were not born in the fall. I wasn't married in the fall. This is literally the greatest fall I've ever had. This is amazing.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, no, it's amazing, and it's incredible to watch this journey unfold the way it has. And like you said, you know, he was the one that everyone wanted, and things didn't shape out the way we anticipated. And, we, you know, people started to make all these jokes about Michigan and Harbaugh, and people coming down so hard on him. And like I said, it would have been easy to just fire him. You know, if he was any other school, like, you know, if this happened down in Columbus, he had been gone years ago because, you know, this – it's just a different breed down there and other places too. But they stayed the course. They made some changes. They understood what was happening behind the scenes. And look at them today. So kudos to them.
ESPN's Desmond Howard, College Game Day's Desmond Howard here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did the committee get it right, 1 through 4, seating him the way that they did? They get it right?
It's hard to say. I mean, my when they asked me, my top four, Michigan was number one. Alabama was 2, Georgia was 3, and Cincy was 4. That was my own personal feelings towards the order. But, you know, they put Bama up there. It's hard to knock that one. Bama and Michigan were, you know, to me, flip a coin. It was he had a strong argument for either, because at the, you got to give Bama credit for doing what they did. I mean, not only did they beat the number one team in the country, I mean, don't forget Georgia's like wire to wire regular season, like the best team in the country, the best defense in the country. And for them to go and carve that defense up the way that they did was incredible. I mean, it was like the Michigan-Ohio State game, you left that game with a clear understanding of which team was the better team. There was no doubt in your mind who was the better team. When you left the SEC championship game, there was no doubt in your mind that Alabama was the better team. It wasn't like, ah, oh, man, you know, they kind of got lucky, and, man, if they played again, you know, it was like, ah, oh, you know, they had a bad call. No, 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 no. Alabama was the better team. So with them knocking off number one, you know, they had a hell of an argument, so. That's where they got the nod.
Okay, and so what do you think? I had Lincoln Riley on earlier in the show, Desmond, and I asked him about this signing period, this December 15th signing period, and if that should be moved because, you know, we're seeing all of these schools. Oregon just lost their coach. Oklahoma lost their coach. Obviously, Notre Dame lost its coach. And these coaches, you know, do not look very good. I mean, the look is so bad for them to leave right when they're leaving. And then kids are decommitting and then recommitting, like that kid who did exactly that to recommit to Lincoln Riley here at USC. Why is the signing period when it is, and do you think it should be moved? What do you think of that?
Now, that is, I don't pay that much attention to high school recruiting, mm-hmm. and I don't know why they moved this. I mean, I'm just keeping it honest. I have no idea why they moved the signing period. I would be curious to see what Lincoln Riley would say about it, because that affects their lives tremendously.
He said he'd be in favor of moving it. That's what he said. He'd be in favor of moving it.
Those are the guys to really answer that question, those head coaches, because, you know, it affects their lives, and it affects the lives of these kids. So, but I have no idea why they moved the signing period. I just always find it kind of interesting that people want to look at when – to hire a coach or when not to hire a coach based on the signing period. Because my thing is, you know, that's just one signing period. You're hiring this coach for some sort of longevity, not just for this signing class. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I just don't get trying to maneuver the hiring of a coach around one signing class. I'm all about the long game. Okay, if we lose a – I mean, if this is my guy, this is my guy. So if he doesn't get this recruiting period, this class, and everybody he wants in this class, so be it. At some point, you got to coach people up too, and you got the transfer portal. There are just other things involved where I couldn't make that the most important criteria in trying to figure out if I'm going to hire this coach now or not. Does that make sense, Rich?
Yeah, it totally makes sense, Desmond. Okay. And I think it just puts everyone in a very difficult position. Yeah. And I don't understand why school presidents are cool with it, or why athletic department administrators are cool with it. Like, they're cool. Like, this would never happen in the NFL, where somebody goes to another NFL team's coach whenever they go to him, October, September, you know, November, December, saying, hey, you want to bail when the season's over, and you got to do it right away before there's a playoff game. You know, it's insane. The whole thing's insane. And I don't know why everyone's cool with that. Like, they don't want to.
That's the problem, Rich. See, the NFL has structure. NFL, they got a union. Like, they have a governing body. The college football does not have a governing body. I mean, that was exposed when COVID hit, when the pandemic hit. We thought the NCAA was the governing body. It's like, no, you conferences, y'all on your own. Do what you want to do. So we don't have a governing body. We don't have a union. We don't have structure. So that's why it's like the wild, wild west right now. And you have – so I can go on and on about that. But that's the foundation of what's the biggest problem right now in college football. And then these coaches' salaries, these contracts that they're signing. Oh, Rich, this is about to start to get really crazy out there. You know, they're signing contracts that are worth more than NFL coaches. So you want everything that the NFL has except you don't want the same structure. You don't want to give these student athletes, because they're quote unquote amateurs, the same rights or the same type of even you don't even give them a union. Because if you give them a union, then you would have the issues that are plaguing college football. You will have someone to address these issues now as a group, which they do not want.
Last two for you. You want to say who you think should be a Heisman Trophy winner? Who would you vote for? Who do you think?
Say that before the award comes out. I'll say like who the finalist should
go
be.
Go for it.
I would never say.
So who should the finalist be?
Who the guy will win it? Aiden Hutchinson I think should be a finalist. I think that Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, I'm a guy who is not just what you do, because I know these guys, they can pad numbers and pad stats against, you know, weaker opponents, which they do all the time. But it's also, more importantly to me, who you do it against. So it's not just what you do, but who you do it against. And for him to have the game he had against Georgia SEC championship game is good. Just like Aiden Hutchinson, I mean, 3 sacks against Ohio State, the biggest game in the regular season, boom. And third guy, I'm not sure. You could maybe throw in Hassan Haskins, Kenny Pickett.
Desmond, if it's Pickett, can they redo the trophy instead of it being a stiff arm, it's a fake slide? Can they do that? Can they immediately get that trophy made? Nice. What do you think?
How gangster was that move? I mean, it's taking advantage. To be honest with you, it's taking advantage of the climate in college football right now, which is don't hit the quarterback. So if a guy looks like he's about to go down, guys pull up automatically because they don't want to get a targeting foul or a personal foul or nothing like that. So they're gonna pull up, and then he does that. He takes advantage of the rule and runs for an actual touchdown doing it too. I said, hot damn, look at this here. Boy, oh boy.
That's what I thought. I said he just wrote a check that if I'm Mel Tucker and I'm telling the Spartans like don't target, but go for it, and I'll deal with the refs afterwards.
Exactly.
For the Peach Bowl.
Exactly.
That's what I will say. That's what I'm saying. That's what I tell my defensive staff, and that's what I tell the players. Go for it. Yeah, don't use your helmet, but go for it, and then I'll deal with it. Last one for you. Do you think we got a shot? What do you think? The whole thing, the whole enchilada. What do you think for Michigan?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not just saying this as, because I went to school, but as an analyst.
Yes, please. That's what I want. That's the analyst. What do you think? What do you think?
Yeah. Now, do I got time to go into it, or you just want to
go for it. No, yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. So Georgia... Georgia's number one defense in the country all year long. And I did a tape on Saturday. I talked about Alabama's wideouts. I said John Metchie. I said Jameson Williams. They're going to have to be the difference, because all the talk about their defense was the front seven. We never really talked about their secondary and their back end. And so what Bill O'Brien did, the offensive coordinator of Alabama did, which was brilliant, he found a way to neutralize that front seven. So once you neutralize the front seven, now you put the pressure on the back end, on the secondary. And they carved them up, bro. Man, I mean, they just ate them alive. And Jameson Williams had a hell of a day. So anyway, with that being said, I believe that Josh Gattis, the offensive coordinator at Michigan, if you've really paid attention, he's in a hell of a rhythm right now calling games.
He sure is.
He's in a hell of a rhythm. And I also think that Michigan's defense is – people are going to say, Michigan want to line up and punch you in the mouth. That's what they want to do. That's not what we want to do, but that's what they want to do. But it's what they can do, and if you allow them to do it, they're going to do it. But they're multiple. Michigan's offense is very, very multiple. Most coordinators will tell you, if you got to prepare for 2 quarterbacks, that's a headache. Well, you got to prepare for Cade McNamara, and you also got to prepare for this freshman, J.J. McCarthy. You got to prepare for 3 running backs. You got Blake Corum, who's lightning. You got Hassan Haskins, who's thunder. But then you get Donovan Edwards.
How good is that kid? How good is that kid?
Come on now. You kidding me? They use this kid in the championship game for a double pass.
That's right. And he also grabbed one with one arm, too. I know.
So now you got 3 running backs. You got 2 legitimate tight ends, both of them in the championship game, making one-handed grabs, both tight ends. And then you got wideouts. It's like you got 3 or 4 wideouts. All of them can make plays. And they use multiple personnel groupings, multiple sets, and then they'll slow it down for you. They're getting the formation. okay to, you know, clap his hands and they'll look to the sideline and then they'll get the play. So my point is, this is going to be a huge challenge for Georgia's defense, because it's just so much that they can do offensively and so much to defend. And then I'm not sure people were really impressed with Georgia's offense, especially under Stetson Bennett against Alabama. And Michigan has a pretty, pretty good defense, too. Mike McDonald, first-year defensive coordinator that came from the Baltimore Ravens, has been doing an outstanding job to the point where he actually out-coached Ryan Day. And people aren't giving Jim Harbaugh and McDonald and that staff enough credit for how they out-coached Ohio State a couple of weeks ago in that game.
Dez, I love you. Thanks for the time. Let's do
my
it again.
Man, pleasure.
Let's
my
do it
God.
Again.
Thank
right back
you.
At
yes,
you.
Sir.
One of my favorite human, go blue. One of my favorite humans on the planet, Desmond Howard. All right, we got to take a break. We're back. Phone calls. Mike Del Tufo's weather report. How bad's it going to be tonight?
Ooh.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Okay, Mike Del Tufo, are you ready? Big
on,
game
Mike,
tonight in Western New York.
Come on, let's go.
Such a big factor. Hit it.
This music.
Del Tufo with the weekend weather
update.
It's not
the weekend.
People.
It's raining sideways. Well, it's not the weekend.
You
it's
played
okay.
the drop, Mike.
Don't worry. Drop. Mike, go for it.
Weekday. Game tonight in Buffalo is going to be freezing.
Oh.
It's going to start in the high 30s, get down low into the low 30s.
How low?
Now, low to low 30s. It's like 31, 32.
Wind gusts over 55 miles an hour.
And by the way, his team has a great running game. They get about 115 yards on average a game. It's some research. I mean, that's I step it up.
30% chance of precipitation. Do we know what type of precipitation?
The precipitation's already past Orchard Park. I did a little research.
Okay.
The rain's a little east and north.
What about snow?
No snow. But it is going to be freezing. It's going to be 30, like basically 30 degrees with 50 mile an hour winds. It's going to be insane.
50 mile an hour winds.
Bring the blanket.
Wow. Great weather report, Mike.
I'm getting better.
Now, how does that affect the fire on the tables in the parking lot?
That might be a big problem.
That's right.
Now, let's just say you have the defense and special teams of the Patriots.
I do too.
And another person who is the fishmonger of Santa Monica has Stephon Diggs. And the minute that the Patriots take the field defensively, I lead by 3. Who wins?
You win.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah.
Oh,
that'd
be amazing.
Oh, yes.
It's my fault.
I think you win.
It's my fault.
I think you win.
Tonight, it's your night, bro.
This is my world.
I think you win.
I come in tomorrow with that W, then honestly, I'm playing the numbers. I got to play the numbers.
Yeah. Pats win tonight?
I predicted them on game day morning. I said that me and Mooch are on the Pats, and Irv and Kurt say the Bills win tonight.
Bills can't run the ball.
And if it's 55 miles per hour winds.
Bills can run the ball. It's just that their best runner is their quarterback.
That's true.
Wow.
Let's go.
We'll see you on Tuesday's show, folks.
I'll be watching this game.
Nice.